The privileges of being part of the Gideon ministry is that we get sent around to different churches, and to be able to share with God's people all around Adelaide, all around Australia, and even internationally at times has been a blessing to me. So this morning I want to bring you greetings from my church at Ungarra. They're meeting at 10, but we want to bring you God's love and the love of the Holy Spirit this morning. So three things just briefly this morning to share with you. I'm hoping to explain a little bit more about the Gideons. I reckon you're fairly familiar with the Gideons, but I'll explain a bit more about that. I hope to encourage you from God's word, particularly from the reading we just had. And I want to talk to you about sharing the gospel. And Benji particularly wanted me to labour that a bit, but maybe I'll just pray and we'll get started. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and active. Thank you that it speaks to us, that it works in our lives. And thank you that we can have your spirit upon us, Lord. So I pray that now, that each one of us will be open to you, our hearts and our minds, and that your word will speak to us now. We trust you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night at our convention, it finished with a lady sharing. Her name was Katrina. And when she came up on stage, just a lovely-looking young woman, looking like she didn't have a care in the world. But as she started to share her story, it emerged that here was a lady who had had a really rugged past. She felt at times broken and without any hope in her life. A lot of stuff happened in her life, but she began to be beaten and abused by her partner. People that she trusted just wouldn't care for her. She became, in struggling to deal with these issues, she became addicted to drugs and alcohol. And through a series of events, she ended up being sentenced to 3 months in jail. This was 3.5 years ago in the Adelaide Women's Prison. She shared on the first night, and apologies, it's hard to listen to at times, but she was bashed and her arm was broken just on her very first night. And your heart couldn't help but go out to her and feel that brokenness and that loss that she must have experienced. She then shared that she picked up a Bible. It was a Gideon's Bible that had been placed there by a lady from the Gideons. And she read Psalm 34, verse 18, and it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saved the crushed in spirit." She said those words just spoke directly to her. She was the brokenhearted. She was the one that was feeling crushed in her spirit. Katrina found hope and she found life in Jesus. She now, only 3.5 years later, she's living a life of hope. She has her children back with her again. She has a job where she's able to speak to people in the last few days of their life in a nursing home and share with them the good news of Jesus. God's word changed her life. You could see it. She was a new person, so we praise God for that. That makes us excited as Gideons. Gideons are passionate people. We want to see people come to know Christ. As I said to Benji, that is our only goal, to win the lost for Christ. That's the goal of our association. Yes, we do this by sharing and distributing God's word all over the highways of life, hospitals, prisons, hotels, students. But we believe it's God's precious word to us, and it's the Bible. It's living, it's powerful, it's active. Just to highlight this, I thought I'd just share a little bit that's written in the start of the little New Testaments that we give out to the students, we give out to people on the street. There's a whole bunch of things. It's really interesting. But there's a portion here that describes the power and effect of God's word. So I should have had it on the screen, apologies. But it says, "During the British coronation ceremony, a Bible is presented to the monarch with the words, 'We present you with this book, the most valuable thing this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God. These words are true and deeply significant. This book has the power not only to inform, but to reform and to transform lives. Through its influence, countless people have been given a new strength, an unerring purpose, and a sure hope in life. To the dying, it has brought peace and assurance of eternal life. It has brought blessings to millions in every land and age. It is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, divine in authorship, infallible in authority, inexhaustible in meaning, universal in readership, unique in revelation, personal in application, and powerful in effect. It is given to you here in this life. It will be open at judgment. It is established forever. Come to it with awe. Read it with reverence, frequently, slowly, and prayerfully. What a challenge that is to us as Christians who have access to God's word. Like Benji said, it could be on our phone, it might be a testament we've received, and most of us have got many of these copies of God's word in our home. Someone's already shared John 1:1, and it's a verse that I was reminded again of. When we think about the precious, powerful, living word of God, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Goes on to say, through the word, the world was created. God spoke. And here we are having access to that power, that word of God, through his Bible. Gideons are so excited to see God's word going out. We give out a lot of these. To give you a little bit of context, we've given out over 2 billion of these around the world. Now, as I said in the interview, this is not about saying how good Gideons are. It's about sharing with you as a church and reporting back to you what God is doing. So we're in 200 countries around the world in 100 different languages. 1 million of these go out every 4 days and 2 every second. So I can't even begin to comprehend some of those numbers. But to give it a little bit more context, and you know, many of you would know history much better than I, but they invented the printing press in 1455, right? Tyndale, just to print the Bible. And if you Google how many Bibles have been printed, just that sentence, it's in the realms of around 8 billion, possibly, okay? And then there was a footnote on one of these pages. Just note, the Gideons International have printed 2 billion. So I'm thinking to myself, 1 in 4 Bibles have been produced and printed since printing began in 1455. 1 in 4 Bibles across the world have been distributed by the Gideons. We praise God for that. We're thankful that we've got your support, and we're thankful that we can be in this association together. But just to take that another step further, so 1 in 4 of these produced by the Gideons, think about where those Bibles are going. Okay, they're not going to my bookshelf at home or to the kids as a kid's Bible or something. Great places to send Bibles, but these Bibles are going into hospitals, hotels, prisons, places where people are searching for hope, places where people end up where they're in desperate need. I'm reporting back to you. I'm here to say thank you. Thank you for your support. I know this is a church who is aware of Gideons and supports us, so thank you. And I want this to encourage you. Everything we do as Gideons is linked back to the local church. And I alluded to it, but I think that everything we do, we operate as an extension of the church. And this is your mission. It's God's work through the Gideons. One of those Bibles that went out was to James. He shared at our convention as well. He received a New Testament at Birdwood High School in 1993. And as he shared it, he just took it home, added it to his collection of bits and pieces on his shelf. As he got older, his life really took a turn away from God. Not that he knew God, but he really said he sought to be an atheist. He was interested in all things without God. He described himself as a committed atheist. But as we know, without God, life gets dark. And he said by the time he was at uni, he described himself as a dark individual. You know, there's people that wear black and listens to music which isn't uplifting. And so on the outside, he was just someone that denied God. Everything was okay. But on the inside, he was so anxious. He was so depressed. And he felt his life was completely without hope, hopeless. And very sadly, he had decided to end it. And he said he was walking to the bridge in Linear Park, ready to jump off. And for whatever reason, God prompted him to remember this little Bible, red New Testament that he'd received at school in year 8. He left the bridge, walked away from that point of despair and hopelessness, and went home, pulled out his New Testament and began to read it. And he found out that there is hope in life, that it's through Jesus and that God loved him. He sent his son. James gave his life to Christ. And he's now, many years later, he's a teacher on the York Peninsula at a Christian school there. We also heard a story about a policeman in northern Queensland. And I really felt for this guy who was struggling in life. He was trying to deal with the things that he'd seen on the job as a policeman, some tough things. And he became quite depressed, just unable to cope with the pressures of all that. He and his wife separated. He lost his job. Really, in some ways, no fault of his own, but just his inability to process things in life. This poor man ended up in a psychiatric ward in despair, in just a state of having no hope. But praise God, a Gideon had placed the Bible in that hospital, in that facility, and this man picked it up. It changed his life. He realised that there was hope in Jesus, that the suffering that he was experiencing could be redeemed through Christ. And God speaks through his word. He has a purpose. And I guess sharing these two stories, I want to just highlight and encourage you about those verses in Isaiah 55, that even though the Bible in James's room sat on his shelf or in the psychiatric ward, it perhaps sat there for a number of years, God still had a purpose. He still brought about change in people's life through his word. And Isaiah 55:11 is the verse that Gideons will always quote to you and is one that we often remind ourselves of. It's a promise. God tells us that he has a purpose when we give out a Bible or when we speak to someone. Our work isn't in vain, as is his word. His word always has a purpose. We know that it's God that does the work, and so we just consider those two testaments that were given out. When God says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." When we give out a testament, or even when we speak to someone on the street, even if they say no, we know that God will work through that. When we give out lots of Bibles at the Adelaide Uni, or tertiary education places all around Adelaide and the first week back of uni. And I think about sometimes that we know that some of the students, they'll just take it, they're in a hurry and they're rushing past, and it might get thrown away by the end of the day. We can print these and box them and send them out to Gideons all around for $1.50. And for me, I think about that as an investment. You know, even if a student has that for half a day or even 10 minutes, that $1.50 can speak to them. You know, that's a third of a latte or something like that. So when we think about it in terms of eternal value, these things are tremendously valuable to the lives that we give them to. And we also trust that God will work through that moment in time. The word that we might speak, even the expression on our face, and we ask God that he'll work through it. But I wanted to use this to encourage you as well, to say to you that God is at work in your life. You've experienced his word and he has a plan for everyone. whether people acknowledge him or not, and that's Jesus. He has a plan of salvation for every person on this planet, and he has a special plan for you and your life. And every day we ask God to change our lives. We ask God to work in us, and we ask him to reveal himself to us through his word. Last night a man spoke, and his story really spoke to me as well. He was from Washington, an African-American, and he's a pastor here in Adelaide somewhere, he said. But he'd had a really rough life in Washington. He'd been in prison. He'd lived on the street for 7 years. I mean, he presented his story a lot better than I am. But he was praising God that Jesus is his Saviour. He received a Bible in prison, and he'd actually got a copy. His mum had given him one, even though their family weren't Christians. They still saw it as something valuable, and he'd got a Bible from his mother, and then he received another one in prison. And he realised that God did love him. He accepted Jesus as his Saviour. When he was released from prison, sadly, as he said, he continued on with his life of drugs, violence, hopelessness. And 7 years of that, and he still didn't have that joy of the Lord, and he knew that Jesus loved him, that he was his Saviour. And he got to a point again where, in desperation, he planned to end his life. But God spoke to him then at that point, and this is the power of God's word. He understood that Jesus wasn't Lord of his life. At that moment, he realised what had been wrong. He'd just been living his own life, even though he acknowledged that Jesus was his Saviour. Jesus wasn't the Lord of his life. And it's the same for us every day. It's so easy to live our lives with our own ambitions, our own desires, and our own plans. But God has a plan for us, and he has a plan to change our lives every day. So when this man acknowledged Jesus as Lord of his life, then his life changed. From that point on, his addictions to drugs was gone, and he was able to start afresh in the Lord. And this brings me to the third thing about personally sharing the gospel. I know you uphold God's word, and I know you consider it living and powerful, but it's really hard to share it, isn't it, sometimes? And personally sharing and witnessing on the street and speaking about the good news of the gospel is something that the Gideons endeavour to do. We are challenged to carry a testament with us in our jacket or in our handbag or whatever it might be. And we're challenged to be ready to witness. As we're preparing for this over the phone, Benji reminded me of the words in 2 Timothy 4. It says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and in out of season." And that's what we endeavour to do as Gideons. We endeavour to be ready to witness. Of course, you don't need to be a Gideon to be ready to witness, and that's part of the challenge to all of us as Christians. What's on our hearts? What is the first thing that comes to mind? I mean, generally it's not to talk to someone about God, but we have to be intentional about that. We are called to share the gospel as Christians. It's part of our calling, and part of that call to love our neighbours as ourselves. How can we show someone real love if we don't tell them that God loves them? Think about the gospel. What is the gospel? It means good news. The good news that God loves us, that God sent his son. It is really good news. As our dear Prime Minister would probably say, how good is that? It is good news. But what if we don't share it? Is it still good? If someone hasn't told us something and we're a bit annoyed about it, we can say to ourselves, well, that's news to me. So if we have this good news and we don't share it, it's just good for us. It's not good news for all. Forgive me if I'm sharing things that I know you know, but it's a challenge to me and a challenge continually challenging all of us all the time. Are we ready to share? Is God's good news on our lips when we meet people? It might be our family members, and sometimes the people closest to us are those that are hardest to be the most open with. It's a big challenge to me, a huge challenge for me as a country guy who likes to live on the farm and to be in my own space to witness to people. One of the initiatives that we have at the moment in Gideon's is to have a team in Rundle Mall each week, wandering around, praying that God will lead us to someone to have a conversation with. It's not a question of, in those times, standing there giving one to each person that comes along. It's a question of, God, who is it that you want me to talk to? Or please bring someone along my path to chat with. And, you know, I found myself in situations where, way outside my comfort zone, I've gone up to a lady who's crying. You're okay. Oh, I've been accused of shoplifting. Oh, okay. You know, first of all, to go and speak to a random lady on the street, for me, you know, I'll just give people space. But an emotional person, well, you don't want to go there. But she was really open just to chat, just to be comforted, just for a few moments, and to be able to leave her a testament. The great thing about these little books is there's places at the front to guide people where to find help if you're sad, if you're upset, and that sort of thing. In the back, there's a simple plan of salvation. God does love you. One of the days we were at TAFE just earlier this year on Curry Street, the campus there, there's three or four of us there, and we had a few hundred Bibles, and we were giving them out to the students as they came along. But of course, you never quite know at a TAFE especially who's a student and who's someone just passing by. And this chap came along and, somewhat scruffy, and I thought, I'll offer him a testament. I could tell from his body language he wasn't that keen. But he stopped and sort of leaned into me and said, listen, I'm an atheist. Don't try and give me that. You know, I know about God. He's not real. I said, hey, that's cool. We'll catch you later. And he starts to wander off and said, you sure? Are you sure you know about God and that he's not real? And he got a bit worked up and came back and challenged me about a few things. And I don't have many ready answers, so I just listened to some of the statements that he was making. And anyway, he was happy that someone listened to him. And we talked a bit more, and about 20 minutes went by. Turns out his name is Noel. He'd served in Afghanistan, and he was really struggling with depression. And actually, yeah, I've been to church in the past. Yeah, I've been part of the church, and you know what? Maybe I will take a testament. And we talked some more and some more. And I still think of Noel and pray for him. I pray that he'll find God again and that the truth of the gospel will speak to him. My parents are Gideons, and last night my mum shared a little story at the convention about how she was standing at the footbridge at the uni. And also, she doesn't, you know, she feels confronted by sharing and stopping people and offering them a testament. And an Aman was coming over the footbridge, and she was saying, oh, you know, I'll turn away. I shouldn't offer it to this very obviously Muslim guy. But she felt that God was saying, you know, you should offer this man a testament. And of course, he took one. The conversation was no more than, would you like this? Yes, thank you. But in that, God will work. We're sure of that. In amongst the challenges of witnessing, I think, is the nagging fear of rejection. And that's something that's very real. Even if it's just chatting to someone in our own family, or, of course, placing scriptures to strangers, we're worried about being rejected. Recently, less than 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity of working in Angola with the Gideons, and that was a completely surreal experience. 2 weeks ago, I was in a Baptist church in the middle of the capital of Angola, Luanda. We placed 89,000 New Testaments to uni students and people in the hospitals there in a week, and we worked mostly with the local Gideons in Angola. But what really surprised me was this nagging fear of rejection that I had when I was giving out these testaments to the uni students. At one point, the locals dropped me at a uni. I assumed it was a uni. I couldn't speak Portuguese, and they gave me 500 Bibles, five boxes of testaments, and we'll be back in a few hours. So no mobile phone, no Portuguese, no real idea of where I was in this huge city. And so I started giving out these Bibles. But you know what? Even then, even though I'll never see these people again, even then I was thinking, gee, do these people really want to be interrupted and be offered a copy of God's Word? Now, I know that's kind of a Western thing. The local Gideons were more than happy to interrupt people, and their culture is a lot more open. But it just spoke to me to think, you know, it is a challenge for us to trust God that He will use us in those situations. It was a great time in Angola, but I'm not here to talk about that today. I just want to finish by highlighting some of the tools we use as Gideons to help us in our witnessing. As I said earlier, you don't need to be a Gideon to witness, of course. We just need to be people who are ready to be used by God. But some of the practical things that has helped me a lot, we go together. When Rachel comes with me down the mall, it's so much more natural to chat to people rather than a strange guy by himself trying to give out things. There's enough people like that in the mall already. So we go together and we encourage one another. We associate for service. That's something we endeavour to do as Gideons. We share stories of what's worked, sometimes humorous, sometimes not, sometimes very sad, where we know people have just turned their back on this good news. We pray together. We pray specifically that God will use us. We have training. We have a book called Share Jesus Without Fear, and it gives us lots of practical steps about how to share your faith, how to listen more, how to ask questions, how not to think that we have to have all the answers and then articulate them, but simply to ask people what they think about the gospel, starting with just getting them to read some verses. You know, you ask someone to read this verse, John 3:16, that tells them that God loves them. When they read God's word for themselves, we believe that it can actually touch their life in that moment of time. So we pray that that works as well. It takes a lot to teach you just to listen. We feel defensive sometimes as Christians. We think we need to have the answers. We don't. God will work through us. Another practical tool we have is the app. And this is just a little prompt, but anyone can find the app on your phone. Just search Gideon's Bible app. There's 1,300 different languages on that. Now, there's lots of different apps, of course. Gideon's one, to set it apart a little, it has that plan of salvation as part of the app. It has the helps in the front that we have in the front of this. It has the helps on the app as well. And it's a real easy app to share. Just an example of that. As we always carry one in our pockets, I was catching a taxi into the city from the airport, and the chappie was from India, the driver, and we chatted a little, and I gave him a testament, as I always try and do. You know, at least, you know, a $20 fare, you're going to give away one testament. But you could tell he had other things on his mind. That was fine. Like, we shared a little, I gave him a Bible, and I was praying that God will use that. Then, the app. And so we got chatting a bit more, and while he was talking and telling me what part of India he was from, I'm looking through the 1,300 languages and found his local dialect, and I have no idea what verse, what part of the Bible, but I just hit play and said, oh, listen to this. And that made him stop and listen, you know. And so we do encounter a lot of people who, they have a language that they speak at home, and they may never have been able to have a copy of that language, God's word in that language, but we have an app which is really handy for that. In the front of the testaments, there's a QR code. I don't know if anyone uses QR codes, but that'll take you straight to the app. And it's great for students as well. We can just share a little bit about that. But that's free. I'd encourage you to grab that, put it on your phone. It has dramatic Bible reading as well. So our kids, you know, you hear the story of Jonah spoken in more dramatic terms. It's quite entertaining. We've got a long drive home today, so we'll put that on perhaps. One of our other real challenges, and it is for me, is to carry that New Testament in your pocket. It's like having, as a farmer, I'm a practical person, it's like having the right tool for the job. If you're planning to speak to someone, you'd plan to be prepared. And so when we carry a testament, we know that God's word can speak to that individual. We're ready. So we're intentionally getting ourselves ready for the job. Now, why I mention that is we have a great program called Friends of Gideons. You can sign up for that and get these testaments yourself. You can sign up as a church and we can send the Bibles to the church. We've had lots of churches who have got involved in that program. We're able to email you some praise points, things to pray for, and send you hundreds of these if you like, so that you can distribute them. We always encourage people to consider joining. I'd love for you to have a look on our website, gideons.org, or gideons.org.au for the Australian one, and think about joining up. The Friends of Gideon's program has been a tremendous blessing, and it's another way of helping channel your funds and your support into this ministry. And whenever you give, it just simply goes to buying these scriptures. The whole ministry is run through the members and our contributions. And when you give, just $1.50 will purchase one of these. And it's remarkable value. And then lastly, just to encourage you to keep praying. Be intentional in your prayers. Ask God to bring people across your paths that you can speak to, or people that you know already, family members, workmates, people that you know don't know the Lord. Ask God to help you in your witness to them. It's not easy, but we have God's word and his spirit with us to help us. So please, today, it's not about the Gideons. Thank you for your support, but I really want to bless you and encourage you to keep on keeping on in your witness for the Lord. We have his good news, and let's share it. Amen.